Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome each one present this morning. Welcome the visitors that are amongst us. God bless you for coming. Not because I'm preaching today, but because of God's word. We want to listen to what God has to say. And I trust that we can all be inspired. My subject is maybe on the negative side this morning, sorry. But it's something that we all battle with. What do you suppose that is? We were all born with it. That's probably pretty good evidence as to what I'm going to speak it about, and that is sin. The title is, Let Not Sin Therefore Reign, taken in from Romans 6. Sir James, a discoverer of chloroform. Chloroform is a colorless, heavy, toxic liquid with an ether odor used especially as a solvent. Now he was asked, what is the greatest discovery you ever made? You know what his answer was? I'm a sinner. That's a great discovery. I would say that's a humble, honest answer. You know, that's a place where we got to come to. One reason sin flourishes is that it's treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake. You know what happens if you get bit by a rattlesnake and you don't get care? It's certain death. I heard an unconverted person say one time, I can just stay good so long, then I gotta do something bad. In 1 John 1:10, if you say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now let's turn to Romans 6. Verse 12 is a verse, the heading where I got my title from, Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. The word sin there is singular. It's indicating that we were all born with a sin nature, Adamic sin nature. We inherited. It's old as just about as man is. And I don't know how long Adam and Eve lived on the earth until they got tempted by Satan, by the serpent and using Satan using the serpent. It's like an antique to us, right? I seen there's an antique out here this morning. You know, an antique is something that is old. You know, I like antiques in a sense. I like to see antique furniture. I like to see antique cars. I like to see some antique coins. You know, them are all interesting things of the past. But you know, sin is, that nature to man is a thing that happened way back in human history when man was created. And you know, people give a high dollar for an antique, don't they? I would sell my antique real quick, my sinful nature. But we can put it under the blood. All right, let's read, I'm just going to read the first 12 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? You know, we were surrendered to him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, there through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. They'll cease their reading there. We may make a couple of comments concerning a couple of verses there. First of all, I'd like to go back to the beginning where sin entered into the world. Sin entered in heaven first before it entered in earth. We know the setting where Lucifer, he was a created angel. He was a being God created. And of course, he wanted to be like God. And of course, God does not share his authority. Therefore, it was cast out of heaven, and there was a conflict. Therefore, he was cast out onto the earth. He's going to and fro on the earth. Of course, we cannot spirit. We cannot see him, but we can see the effects of him. Well, what was his, where he thought he could attack God, is he attacked his creation? That's you and I. He attacked it, the first two created beings that God had. When God created the first two beings and what all he created in the whole world, he looked onto his divine work of creation and looked upon it and claimed it was very good. That was before sin entered the world. It was very good. Now, as man was on earth, God only gave him one commandment, just one. Wouldn't that be great? Just one commandment. That's all I have to do. You're not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was God's law. Just one. Well, that's where Satan attacked it. Just had the one law. And we see as when a small child enters this world. Just last night we had the privilege of seeing Julian and Kathy's little baby, and it's just a small, tiny baby. But we know soon that baby has a will, right? That baby has a will. And most times the first word, one of the words that they learn is no. Right? Isn't that one of the words they learn to know? They don't say, yes, mama. Yeah, I'll do that, mama. Yeah. That's not a baby. It's because it has Adamic nature. It inherited. Thinking of Adam and Eve a little bit, the results of their sin was death. Two senses of death. One was a physical death where your body would die. And the other sense of death is separation from God. Okay? They were separated from God. They were ashamed. They realized they needed something to cover their body. They were ashamed. That's what sin does. It makes you ashamed. It should. I hope it does. Should. You know, they lost that perfect fellowship with God in the garden. I just loved that. I just wonder how that garden looked. Everything was just perfect. No weeds, no nothing. But some people think sin and work had the same birthday. Is that true? Did sin and work have the same birthday? Some people always have this idea that, okay, Adam, you're gonna hoe weeds because of sin. That's true, but that's not the same birthday. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you read something a little bit different. Verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, to dress means to tend and cultivate. So God did put work to man before sin. But what God did because of sin, he gave him extra work. He put weeds in the garden. And he gave us diseases. He gave us, the body starts to decay. That was the first beginning of man starting to deteriorate and decay because of this ugly word, sin. So we would say that man's choices carry serious and far-reaching consequences. In Galatians 6:7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, you often hear of people sowing wild oats, right? You hear that, sowing wild oats, then they pray for a crop failure. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You know, what you sow, it's going to reap. If you sow wild oats, that's what you're going to reap. In Romans 5, verse 12, I want to read that verse, Romans 5, 12. "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that we all have sinned." So that was an inheritance that we got from birth, that death is a sin. Yeah, that sin had entered into the world, and that man had an all men born with a sinful nature. Now then in verse 13 it says, "For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now sin was in the world, and God gave the law to Moses. Okay, after creation to the flood, there was only, you would say that they sacrificed, and we also notice what God dealt with, murder as well. Sacrifice or sin. There was a sin offering. Now in verse 13, it uses the word impute, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. In other words, the word imputed means to charge to one's account. So therefore, God did not charge those people's account up to the flood and after the flood until the law, as God counts you and I today, because we have God's word, okay? The laws that God gave, you were accountable for them. But God gave also accountability that you sacrifice for your sins. That's accountability that God gave man. So we would say if there was no responsibility, there was no accountability. And then verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses," that's what I was saying, "even over them that they had not sinned after that the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come." So, Adam is a figure of him that was to come. In other words, Adam was created as a perfect being. Jesus was also that perfect being. Both experienced the test in the garden. Adam experienced the test in the garden. Jesus experienced that test in the garden. But Adam was sinned and condemned to die. Jesus was sinless and condemned to die for sin, not in sin. Adam was condemned to die in sin, and Jesus was condemned to die for sin. We know that the animal sacrifice covered man's sin. Man was not instilled with a spiritual power, but that in spiritual power only came after Jesus had come and died for us, and then that the Spirit could live within us as we confess Jesus Christ and live above sin. That's the only way that man can live above sin, as we have the power through the Spirit. We have that Spirit power to live above sin. So, at this point, we looked at sin's beginning, sin's results. What does God think about sin? Are there any degrees of sin that God thinks less of, more of? You know, we as mankind think of sin of the degrees. You know, we go to a judge, if a man committed murder, there are certain degrees. If man steals, there are certain consequences he pays for each one of them sins. Now, how does God look at all that? Does God look at, well, God, your sin wasn't as bad as this sin over here, so, okay, well, that's not as bad. Is that how it is? No, but God says if you sin, it's death. Sin is death, don't matter what degree of sin. Even if it's a forbidden fruit, or committing a murder, God looked at it the same. You know, the committed murder, Cain was a fugitive and a vagabond. In other words, he was wandering aimlessly to and fro on the earth. What a helpless feeling. What a helpless feeling. What does God say? What does God say about wickedness? Well, Proverbs 15 has a good thought. Proverbs 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. There he goes again. Proverbs always gives the good and the bad. It gives us in the same verse. So we could say abomination is detestable to God. You ever taste something and it tastes so yucky you have to spit it out right away? That's what that word means, abomination means. It's just like eating. What don't you like? And what I don't like, warm spinach. You know. Out of the mouth right away. That's exactly what God says about wickedness. Detestable. Because God is sinless, pure, holy, and that's what he expects. So that's why sin, when it was in heaven, it had to go out. Couldn't live in heaven. That's not a place for sin. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, the question I'd like to ask, our verse here in verse 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We are living in a mortal body, so don't let sin reign in it. Is there a difference between something reigning in your body or something dwelling in your body? I thought about that. I pondered that point a little bit, and I thought, something that reigns, you can see real evidence. You make choices that it is raining, that it is taking control. It's taking control. Or is it something that's, or is it like our sin nature? We never eradicate our sin nature, okay? You put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not raining, but it's still there, okay? It's still under. I often like to give this illustration. Like if you bury an old cat, died something, you know, you dig a hole and you bury the cat, but bury the tail, okay? Don't leave the tail, hon. Yank it up again, you know. That's like we like to do old things, you know, bring that thought up again about someone, you know. Bury the tail. Totally get rid of it. D.L. Moody said this, label sin for what it is, poison. Put the right label on it, then you won't touch it. Thinking of something, somebody that sin is raining in their heart, you can see evidence. They are hopeless, helpless. But I want to say this morning, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's power. There's victory. Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. We need a shot in the arm by Jesus Christ to glorify him because of what he did for us. The invitation is for all of us. We're no exception. Every one of us needs the invitation of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, what family you were born in, what country you were born in, what race you are of. Jesus died for every one of us. This morning the question is, are you controlled by your sin nature? Or are you controlled by God, by Jesus Christ? I had to thinking of the sin nature, you know, and in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What's a soul? The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Now, God created the body out of the dust, and he created you as a living soul. It doesn't say anything about the spirit there, does it? Doesn't say anything about the spirit. Then, Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 7. Then shall the dust, that's your body, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. So your body goes back to the dust again because that's where it comes from. God made us out of dust. And then when you die, your spirit goes to God who gave it. So God created us a will, mind, and emotions, a soul. But the spirit is what you converse with God is through your spirit. You know, the spirits, we have spirits right around us here. I imagine there would be good spirits and bad spirits right around us. But we can't, praise be to God, that we can't see them. But that spirit that lives within you. Now, there's a good example of that. The man that was living among the tombs, you know, what for spirit was living among him? You could tell what for spirit was living among him because he was cutting himself. He was evil to the core. Until God changed, till Jesus came and changed him. I just love that picture. When Jesus came and he cleaned him up and he was sitting there in peace. Oh, just a wonderful picture. Wonderful pitcher. I'd like to think of Jesus' resurrection just for a moment. It also gives us power for newness of life, thinking that, you know, we had the death sentence over us. Then, when Jesus came and he died for us, he overcame the power of death. You know, that was a surprise to many, many people when he rose out of the grave and he was victorious over death, over the grave. You know, that power that overcomes death is a power that can live within us, that we can overcome the death sentence that we have on us. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do enough of good deeds. But good deeds are the indication of what's in the heart. The believer's body is a God's temple, and he wants us for his glory. I want to read a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? You glorify God through spiritual, back and forth from God, through spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings as well, which is God's. We are bought with a price, the price of blood. And then we give our glory back to God again, because that's where the glory belongs. Because we of ourselves, we cannot clean ourselves up. It's only God that can clean ourselves up. So God wants us, we the members of the body, as tools for building God's kingdom. You know, God used mouths. Thinking of a physical body now again. God used mouth and tongues of the prophets. Paul's dedicated feet carried him from city to city as he proclaimed the gospel. John's eyes saw visions of the future. His ears heard God's message, and his fingers wrote it down, and the book that we can read. All of us, who are you a servant to? Who do you serve? If you serve a master that can expect wages, sin pays wages as well. But if you want to live a life of holiness, that also pays wages. Sin of the life, it gives holy living, holy life, which leads to everlasting life. This morning, the question is, who are we serving? Let's give all diligence and serve our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Let us kneel to pray.